from San Luis Potosí, Mexico.
My time is finally here. I've been anxiously waiting for this all year. I have really. Well, first, I think I better mention my two unmentioned daughters because they let me know that 2 years in a row, I got so nervous I had all my notes and I skipped a whole spot and it was them. And they've been hurt for 2 years. They've never let me forget it. So, no, I'm real proud of Kelly and Betsy. They're at a hard age right now. At least Betsy, especially, this teenage, you know, I told her she has decided that, you know, she has to be a teenager. Act like one. I mean, you know, she can't be happy. That's not a teenager. She has to go around. Of course, unless she's around boys, then. No, I'm proud of them. They're doing real good, and they're meeting with the young people. They meet every Saturday, and it's a blessing to see that they do have Christian friends to be with. I told them they have more than I did. Even though I grew up with 40 kids, we didn't see them as our friends. It was like our brothers. So it wasn't like, you know, you wanted to go anywhere with them. And our young people do. They have, you know, even if there's three couples in the church, I guess, right now, as for actual boyfriend, girlfriend. But even if they don't like each other, boyfriend, girlfriend, they do have each other. They go skating together. They can go get close together. And that means a lot. I mean, I wish I'd had that when I was that age. It was hard. You don't have, all my friends were unsafe. And probably what helped me not to get too much that way was that we lived in the village. But yeah, I really praise the Lord that they do have young people to spend their time with. Is that okay? She's been asking me all week if I'm going to say something about her. The Lord's been really good, and I guess what I mainly want to talk about is the young people in the church. We really have. It's not funny, okay? I have a problem, but I mean, I really am trying to be serious, so I'm not laughing because it's funny. The Lord's been really good, give us a lot of young people in the church. As Terry mentioned the other night, most of our church is young people. I think Mike told me there's about 30 of us total. And, as far as, you know, couples, it's Michael and Terry, Mike and I, and there's one other couple. And, well, there's four couples. One quit coming for quite a while. They started coming back, and we've really been praying that the Lord, they are Christian, but they got away from the Lord and quit coming. But there's 3 to 4 couples if the other couple is faithful. And the rest of them are all young people, anywhere from Betsy's age to about 23, I guess, or so. And it's a real blessing to see, even though we don't have the, it's kind of different because you don't have the stability, if you want to call it, of a lot of adults. These young people are on fire for the Lord. They really are, you know, they get their downtimes too, but they really want to serve the Lord. They want to live for the Lord. And I was reading in Daniel's day, in Daniel chapter 1. And I was thinking about our young people and just how I wanted to share about them. And it says in chapter 8, verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat." And then in verse 17, it says, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom." And I was thinking about them, and there's one young man especially that we really asked him to pray for. He's the most spiritual one, including some of us adults. The Lord has really given him some wisdom, and like Michael was saying though, it hasn't come from him sitting down and not opening the Word. He's in the Word constantly. He's preaching. He's asking questions. He wants to have the knowledge of the truth. And this is Luis. Well, we call him Luis too because there's two Luis. And it's been a real blessing to see how, since he got saved it's been 2 years yet? About 2 years, how he's grown, but the Lord has just used him, and how his willingness to serve the Lord. There's a couple things that he's done, right here where the first verse I read, that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. It brought to my mind, and I don't know the whole situation, but his parents are divorced, and he was living with his mother, and she's not saved, but she was living in such a way that he didn't agree with, and he told her that it was wrong, and tried to explain to her with the Word, and of course she doesn't understand that, or doesn't want to, and she told him if he didn't like it, he could move out, and he did, he moved out. And that's quite a step for a 17-year-old kid. But he has made some convictions, some real strong convictions, and it's cost him. The other thing was that he was studying. He's, I think, gone through 1 year of law school and or pre-law, maybe it is. But anyway, this is something he's wanted to be all his life, as a lawyer, and he really has a knack for it. He's just real gifted, just has a real way with him. And he went through 1 year, and just about a month ago, he came and started telling us that he was going to change careers. And we asked him why, and he said, I can't be in that career. And the way he answered was, it's called vocation. And he went on to say that he couldn't be in a career where it's, especially in Mexico, where the system is so corrupt that you just almost have to be part of it. And he just said, I can't do that. As a Christian, I can't do that. And that was a real real blessing to me. And, you know, it really touched me because he's so young and this is what he's wanted. And his dad is paying for his career. And that he said, if my dad tells me that, you know, he doesn't pay unless I stay in it, well, then I'm on my own and I'm going to have to do something because I can't stay in that career. And that's just been a blessing to see how these convictions, that he has, he's standing on them. And they do cost him. In Ephesians 4:1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. And this verse had brought to my mind this situation with Luis, you know, when he said that it was something called vocation. He couldn't do it. And he is the one that preaches every morning with the guys that they preach. And he preaches almost every night downtown. And he's just really he wants his career, and yet he's really given himself for the preaching to teach the word, and he's the one of the leaders of the young people, and just to see how the Lord is using him and even working with him with his career, you know, so that he follows the Lord's leading. And then I thought of where it said, you walk worthy. And all week I've been sort of, this sort of might cause me to ring a bell when I've changed subjects. It's not really sort of changing subject, kind of. I've been kind of battling with, not weak really, ever since Steve called actually, this kind of the worthiness. I thought, what am I going to get up there and say? I know every year everybody says they battle it, but somehow this year it's really been something that I just can't seem to get. And, Terry got after me, told me, he's giving you plenty of time, you know, you ought to get started thinking about it. And, you know, I didn't do that. my mother got after me, and but I think it, at least it seems like in my mind it comes down to that somehow I want to get up here and feel worthy. I want to somehow feel like I'm worth something, and maybe that's, you know, pride or what, but it's like, how do I explain it? Maybe it's because I battled, maybe it's because all my life I've battled self-worth, but somehow, and it hit me this week really hard. You know, why have I battled it so much? I mean, I'm not worth anything. I'm not. And this time I'm not putting myself down. It just really hit me. Why am I so worried about my worth? Is that, you know, that's my problem. I'm so worried about what I'm worth. Am I worth something? Am I going to give something that's worthy? And it really hit me this week with these verses. That you walk worthy of the vocation which you are called. And, in Colossians 1:10, it says that you might walk worthy of the Lord and walk pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. After Michael shared last night, it just seemed like these verses with knowledge started popping out, and it's just and verses with worthy, that you might walk worthy, and it's always talking about according to the Lord. You know, it doesn't say anything about what you're worth. And you think I got it through my head. I mean, I'll be 40 next week, and I still haven't got it through my head that, you know, the Bible says we aren't worth anything, that our worth is in Christ. But I guess that human part in me, you know, I heard this ex-preacher one time on the radio here in San Antonio when we were living here. It said he was an atheist now, and the reason was because he just could not believe anymore what the Bible said, that we weren't worth anything, that we were nothing. And he just could not believe that humans are worth something. And it hit me that somehow, at least in me, that's kind of in there. You know, we want to be worth something. We don't want to say that we're not worth anything. But our worth is in Christ. And it said that we should walk worthy of the Lord. and increasing in the knowledge of God. And last night, like I said, after Michael's message, I had to really, the Lord really dealt with me that I don't have enough knowledge of the truth. You know, can I answer more than two questions? Can I say more than I know one thing? And instead of worrying about my worth and if I can do it, if I have something that's going to be worth sharing, do I have knowledge of the truth so that I can walk worthy of Him? In Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3, and probably this is where I fail so much, is looking in all the time. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endures such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. And I've seen this verse, I've had it underlined, but it just hasn't really got into me. So just keep looking unto Him, looking unto Jesus. And if I'm looking unto Him who's worthy, then I'm not going to be worried about if I'm worth something or I'm not worth anything, because my worth is in Him. Then in Revelation 4. Verse 11, and this is just to praise the Lord who is the worthy one. I worried, you know, all week, you know, well, what am I going to say? Am I going to go around in circles? Is that I get nervous and then I just sort of go around, don't say anything. And I'm just worried about how it's going to come out. And the Lord just tells me that He's worthy to be praised. It's His name that should be glorified. And it says here, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And in chapter 5, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And when I read that, it really hit me. The reason He's worthy to receive all that is because He is the Lamb that was slain. He gave His life for me. And that's why it says he was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And somehow we want all that, or at least, you know, I want some of that. I want a little bit of that. And yet He's the only one that's worthy. He is worthy. And I just praise the Lord that He's put us in such a place, or He's put me in such a place that I don't see a lot of what I'm doing. I told Mike, you know, what am I going to share right now? I can't say that I have a real ministry as such, like, you know, I did before. I bake a lot of hours a day, and so what am I, you know, give my new recipe of a cake or what? But you know what? The Lord's put me in such a position. Terry said, you know, that because our house is a business now, young people come and go, and they do. And I have tried to take on the attitude of my mother, you know, that I'm going to let that be a blessing, and that if I can be a blessing to them, if I can help them, if I can, mainly just that they can come and go. A lot of times they know that they're at home there and they come and go, but somehow it's a refuge to them. Their parents aren't saved, most of them. They have nowhere really to go, and they can come there, talk to Mike, go out in the shop with him and work with him. It's a refuge for them. And I just praise the Lord that He's allowed me to be a little part of that. I just ask for your prayers that I would look into Jesus. And that I would look at His words, not mine.